the new theme, okay? But it was a good thing. It was a good thing. And what he would do in different ways would tie in his preaching, and a lot of the events and things about that were happening in the life of the church would tie in somehow to that particular theme that year. I wrote down 6 benefits of having an annual theme, and then some thoughts about developing, just some practical thoughts about how to develop your theme. Number one thought is that it forces you as a pastor to seek God's leading way out in advance. Okay, and I'm talking about months in advance. On the schedule on the West Coast, Pastor Chapel would take June and July and pray about and seek the Lord's heart for the theme for the new year. We would get the theme, me and our media team would get the theme by about the 1st of August. And then we had a month, 3 weeks, to develop a logo and graphic imagery and maybe a video. We would then introduce that theme to the staff at the staff training time, which was always at the end of August, right before school started. And so the staff training days would be, projection and the covers of the notebooks, and all the new theme was introduced at the staff training. And pastor would preach the theme to the staff and kind of lay the groundwork for where we're going in 4 months. So then September, October, November, December, our media crew would then begin working on all the New Year materials, banners and booklets and tracks. Anything that we were doing related to the theme, we would start working on and developing that. So having a theme forces you as a pastor to say, Lord, in the next 12 months, what do you want to accomplish in our church? What is the main focus of this ministry? Not to say you don't have lots of focuses all the time. You all always are discipling. You're always reaching out. You're always trying to grow in grace. You're always trying to meet needs and follow up and outreach and all that. But one big thing, what at the end of the year, what do we want to have addressed or grown in this year? Our first theme at Emmanuel was revive, renew, restore. Just those 3 R words, revive, renew, restore. When I brought that to our church in January, I was speaking to a well beat up, very discouraged, disheartened, hurting, financially hurting church. In a monstrosity of a building that was falling apart, that did not have money to fix it. And they were dangerously close to foreclosure or losing the building, which would have been tragic. I mean, it's a 1,200-seat auditorium, 50,000 square feet of classrooms and offices and fellowship hall, at least the size of this room. Amazing. And it would have been, on the auction block or for sale. And to replace that in New England would have, for a church planner, it would have been 25 years, to build the church, raise the money, buy the land, build the building. Tragic, tragic to have lost that property from the cause of Christ. And by God's grace, God pulled us back from the cliff. Thank the Lord. So revive, renew, restore was huge for our church. And for us, it would have been a mistake for me to come in and say, win the world, let's focus on worldwide missions. We were months away from having to cancel all the missionaries. Okay, it would have been a mistake to say, let's disciple new believers. We're in ICU. How can we focus on anyone else's health when we're on our last heartbeat? So revive, renew, restore is our prayer. Got up in January, talked about it through the first few months. Didn't make a big deal about it, but consistently prayed and asked and brought it forth. And what's fun about this is that a year later, when I introduced the new theme, I talked about last year's theme, and we were able to look back for a few minutes and rejoice that God had answered our prayer in significant ways. So it was me alone to the Lord. God, what do you want to do? And it's you alone to the Lord. What do you want to do? Okay, number 2, it helps you align with Scripture. Always the theme at Lancaster was based on a Scripture, always a verse, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'm trying to think, by His Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. One year the theme was Striving Together, one year the theme was For the Faith. They were both the same verse, but different phrases of the verse. The Striving Together year was a year of building unity and team. The For the Faith year, I'll never forget that year because it was a year where we heard a lot about our heritage of faith, martyrs, Polycarp, and you know, stories of how the faith was handed down and what exactly are we living for. You know, it was bigger than a movement. It was bigger than a word, you know, than an ism. It was bigger than that. It's 2,000 years ago, timeless truth. And so For the Faith was a big theme year. Way back in the early days of the church, one of his themes was I Love My Church. And that was the first year I came on staff, so that would have been 1990. And at that time, the church was just crossing the 400 barrier. He'd been there 3 years. The church had grown from 12 to 400 in 3 years. You can imagine now all these new people that don't know each other. And he's the only glue that's the Holy Spirit, obviously, but relationally, he's the glue, the pastor, okay? And so now it's time to build some classes and build some groups. And now it's time to encourage the hearts of these people to fall in love with the church that Jesus died for. I love my church. The next year, we started plans for building and relocating. And that year was Stake Your Claim. And the theme verse was lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. And he preached a lot that year about deciding to dig in and plant, dig roots, grow roots, not just spiritually, but even physically and with your family. And that year we had dozens of Air Force families that were at Edwards Air Force Base that just decided we're going to get out of the military and we're going to grow our family right here and we're going to stake our claim. And he developed that theme. So it forces you to pick a scripture and a theme that you think, you know, where God's leading you. Number three, it assists with spiritual health and balance. What I mean by that is, if you looked at all the themes for 25 years of Lancaster Baptist Church, you'd see balance. You'd see some years that were more outreach and forward motion, and some years that were more unity and relationship building, and some years that were more personal or worshipful, and some years that were more depth and discipleship and strengthening my faith. Some years that were more doctrinal, always doctrinal, but some years that were more focused intently on doctrine. And you'd see a balance of health, and that's why that church is healthy. Number four, write this down. It facilitates unity in the church. It gives the church a biblical idea to rally around, okay, which promotes unity. And as a leader, as a leader, you're a coach, okay, and it's part of the coach's job to inspire the team to cooperate and collaborate together. And disunity is dysfunctional. Disunity quenches the Holy Spirit. When there's problems, you need to confront them and go to them. But the theme kind of rallied the church to an idea that was bigger than all of us and higher than all of us. And this is what we're asking God to do, and we're excited about growing in this idea in our faith in the new year. And it was a good thing for unity. Number five, it gives a context. It contextualizes ministry efforts. It contextualizes ministry efforts. All right, so take, for instance, a stewardship idea. We're going to give a special offering. Well, we could just have a special offering, or we could have the stake your claim offering. Okay, and now the special offering has some context to it. And that year, what we were doing, we were buying land. We're going to build a building on that land. So we were staking our claim in Lancaster, in the Antelope Valley, for this ministry and for the gospel. And it gave our event, our giving event, a context, okay? And whatever event, a revival, a conference, a youth conference, a camp, a retreat, the right kind of theme, you can build your events and your ministry calendar around that theme. And you can develop the theme through the event, and it gives some cohesion there and some context to what we're doing and why we're doing it. Number six, and write this down, it memorializes spiritual victory. It memorializes spiritual victory. You think about Joshua when they Gilgal was kind of a sacred, special place for Israel. It was where they camped and where they, after they'd crossed the Jordan. Think about the memorial, the stones that they would have set up after they crossed the Jordan, where God said, I want these stones so you can come back and remember, and so you can teach the next generation what happened then. Same way, we had a plaque of all the themes that hung in the church, and then there was one hallway where all the calendars, the theme would be on the calendar, and all the calendars were framed down the one hallway. They may have taken that down, but you could literally walk down the hall and see 1991, 92, 93, and all these themes. Anybody that had been in the church identified with those themes and what God did in their life that year. Many people could say, that year is the year I really learned to tithe and really got engaged. That year is the year I joined the orchestra and really got involved in ministry. That year is the year I became a youth worker and started teaching 10th grade boys. I remember. The pastor would go through this and say, how many of you came into the church during the year for the faith? How many of you came in during the year by His Spirit? How many of you came in during the streams in the desert year? And people would remember, oh yeah, that's when I came into the church and this is what God did. So those themes over time in people's minds became road markers of their spiritual journey. Okay, kind of like if you drove up through Tennessee and it was Sea Rock City, right? Or you know, whatever the billboards say. They were billboards along the journey that reminded people of where they had been. So those, I think, are the benefits of the theme, and probably the best one of all of those is you preparing and seeking the Lord, and then the unity in the church. Let me finish by sharing with you some ways that we developed the theme. Okay, we always had a theme verse. Usually the theme and the theme verse were in a lot of print formats. We would create a theme graphic, and we live in a visual culture. I don't know if you use projection or video in your church, but I would encourage you to. The people you're communicating to today, in today's environment, they look at screens all day long. This is how they get their information. This is how they receive information. And your whole communication effort will take a dramatic step up if you are implementing some technology and some PowerPoint and things like that. Some people have a conviction against it, which if you're a little insecure about it, that's fine. It's to me, it's not a biblical issue. It's just, you know, we use chairs too, you know. It's just a cultural context. I mean, evangelicals use carpet and toilets too, but that doesn't make me a compromiser because I use carpet and toilets. So we would develop graphics for the theme and print graphics, and we would make it visual and so they could see it. We would always typically write or find a theme song, a chorus, that we would teach them, and we would sing that every few weeks or more or less, depending on how far into the year we are. And those songs are not hard to find, or find somebody in the church that could write one for you. The theme preaching, he would always develop series around those themes. And sometimes he would take and develop like series related to the theme. Okay, a couple years ago, the theme was Rooted in Christ. And so his first series of the new year was Rooted in Christ. His next series was Fruit by the Bushel. And it was about the fruit of the Spirit. But he tied it into that rooted, farming, sowing, reaping kind of picture. The next theme was sowing for a harvest. So all of his first three themes that year were tied in to the idea of roots. Okay, tying the theming and the preaching into it is helpful. We would develop often curriculum that we would take our adult classes. 3/4 of the year, the classes were on their own curriculum. I mean, the guy in charge of the classes would moderate and hand out curriculum. But then 1/4 a year, the whole church was on the same Sunday school curriculum, teenagers all the way up through. And it was typically a curriculum that Tim Christensen wrote. Which, if you're using Striving Together stuff, I would encourage you to look at Christensen's stuff. I like his curriculums. He wrote one called For the Faith. It's doctrinal and practical. We're doing one at our church right now, he wrote, called Making a Difference. It's going through the book of Acts and taking the New Testament church. Great curriculum. He's got another one they just did. I forget the name of it, but I'm planning to use it. But putting the whole church on the same Sunday school curriculum is a way to develop the theme. Hey, let me take it even a level deeper. Think about this. Think about you doing a sermon series on, okay, let's say your theme was making a difference. and you got Kristen's curriculum, and you decided you're going to that's going to be your preaching series, okay? So you're taking those lessons, and you're developing messages, but give the lessons to your teachers to teach through. Make sure your messages have enough of a difference that they stand alone from the... But now Sunday school and church tie together, and you're developing those ideas in more integrated ways. You're going to get more mileage. It's going to go further. And that's a great way to develop the theme. Theme gifts, number 7. I wrote down theme gifts. Now, we did everything from bumper stickers to coffee mugs to magnets to cigarette ashtray. No, I'm just kidding. We did everything. You know, we always had some gift at the beginning of the year to hand out to the church family. And this is not a matter of... you can do some really affordable things. All right, our church right now has no budget margin. We are just... praise the Lord, we're making it, but we're just barely making it, okay? But coming into the new year, we're going to have a Vision Sunday, and I want to give the church some stuff. So we did get some magnets, some refrigerator magnets, and I think they cost us about 70 or 80 cents a piece. So we put one per family, we put a couple hundred dollars into that. And then we printed for like $80 some outreach, some soul-winning business cards that we bundled up in bundles of 20 and gave out. We printed on our color copy at the church a color calendar. And so, minimal investment, but I'm telling you, our church, they've never had a Vision Sunday. They've never had a packet of materials given to them on the first day of the year. You would have thought, on that Sunday morning as people were leaving church, you'd have thought I handed them all a brand new car, that they all won the Price is Right or something. I mean, this is awesome. We never had this before. They had a goal sheet, they had a Bible reading schedule, they had some business cards, they had a magnet and a calendar, and they thought I had handed them the moon. It was just one. But they got really excited about having some of that material. And as I've been in some of the members' homes, the calendar's hanging, the magnet's on the refrigerator, and what is that? They're thinking all week long, deeper, stronger. That's our theme this year. Why deeper, stronger? Because God revived and renewed and restored our church last year. But now we're young and weak and lots of new believers and lots of every other weakers. And I want us to grow deeper and be stronger in our faith, in our giving, in all of it. So deeper, stronger. We're driving that home. So we did some theme gifts. Number 8, I would encourage you to think about, I'm done, I gotta, when do I have till? 10 after? Okay, good. Theme devotionals. We would often develop something to give out in form of a devotional, even if it was just a 30-day devotional, even if it was something we got 3 or 4 people to contribute to, staff, deacons, people in the church, and we, photocopied in-house or something. But just that first 30 days or first little while, hey, here's a devotional plan along with the theme. Number 9, theme events. I already talked about that. We'd have prayer, we'd have giving, we'd have conferences all around the theme. And then if you really have the opportunity and the resources, which I don't right now, but we did in Lancaster, and that would be theme media. And that would be videos and website and lots of stuff, okay? And I'll tell you how we started in Lancaster and how we're starting again in Newington. We started with teenage kids who had lots of time and lots of tech savvy. And I just started going to these kids saying, hey, you want to help me with the newsletter? Sure. 10th grader, help me with the newsletter. Now that 10th grader is 35 and he runs the whole media department. If you ever went on a website at Lancaster Baptist or West Coast Baptist College, we had the world's worst websites. And there was a kid in 11th grade in our youth group that was very intelligent and very godly. And he was just on my heart. And I thought, man, we got to build websites. This is the future. We got to build websites. And so I called Robert up to my office one day out of school. He had no idea why I wanted to talk to him. He was 16 years old. I said, Robert, do you know anything about websites? He said, I don't know anything about websites. I said, do you like computers? He said, I do. I said, all right. I'd like to offer you a minimum wage job up to 40 hours a week. And I want you to build all of our websites. And what that means is you're going to have to buy books, get online, watch classes. You're going to have to learn everything you can learn about websites and help us build ministry websites. And I said, Robert, this will you can take it all the way through college. At the end of college, if you don't like what you're doing, worst case, you've got a great education, and you can then go do what you need to do with your life. Or best case, you will have developed a department that you can now be the head of after you graduate from college. And So you can call Robert on the phone today, and he's still in charge of all the websites at Lancaster Baptist Church. And he's now, he just got married. He's 20, I don't know, probably 27 or 28. And it's 10 years later, and there's websites. And now there's more guys. There's four or five guys that work on websites there. But it all began with Robert. And he was 16. And he didn't know anything about websites. Isn't that cool? I mean, you guys don't think that's cool. I think that's really cool. My point is, there's some kid in your church that if you said, hey, we got a theme. Would you like to make a video about the theme? The kid will go, yeah, I got an iPhone and I got iMovie on my computer, so we'll make a video, you know? And that stuff, your church family will enjoy. Somebody will enjoy. You'll be training somebody along the way, and God will bless it. So an annual theme can be a really good thing if it's developed and God can use it. We have, let me see here, we have about seven minutes left. Does anybody have a question that you want to ask, either this session or last session? Yes, sir. Oh, over a theme? No, not over a theme. No, over other stuff. Like, I don't like that person because they bit my child in the nursery or something, you know. But I'm going to deal with the disunity thing in my last session today about leadership. I'm talking about leadership in the last session. But no, the theme, no. I can't imagine anybody arguing about the theme. But they were never given an option. This is our new theme, you know. So that was the pastor's decision. Anybody else have a question? Going once. Yes, sir.
About for those, I've heard from pastors before, well, you know, I like new themes, but I'm not a theme guy. I'm just one of those guys, if I tried it before, and I just can't continue with it beyond the January.
I would not. I understand that thinking, because as a pastor, I want to feel flexible to be able to respond to the Holy Spirit. Okay. There's two extremes. The one extreme is blaming the Holy Spirit for my lack of discipline. Oh, bless God. I don't believe in preparation. I just get up and say whatever I say. Okay, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. I hate to say it, but that's you. That's not the Holy Spirit. You can blame the Holy Spirit for that. And the other is, marginalizing the Holy Spirit on the other end, that I'm so prepared that God has to now conform to my plan. Okay? I believe that we prepare, maybe even over-prepare, and then we follow the Holy Spirit. You know, you fill your bucket with preparation, and then you follow the Holy Spirit. There's not a Sunday morning message that I don't come in with 2 hours of material, and then I end up preaching on Sunday mornings for about 50 minutes. You know, so I cut out a lot of stuff, but it's okay. And that's where I try to follow the Holy Spirit. But back to this theme question. Pastor Chapel always, I'm always flexible. The theme is not you're not hostage to your theme. You can emphasize it or not emphasize it as much or as little as you wish. You know, the more you emphasize it, the more people will remember it and kind of rally to it. But at Lancaster, the first 3 months were heavy, heavy, heavy. We would get another push at the middle of the summer. The leadership conference was kind of built around the theme. After the summer, you almost would have not heard the theme. You'd still see banners, you'd still see the graphic on the screens, but you wouldn't hear much about it. So, yeah, be flexible. Good question. Anybody else? There's not a stupid question. So,
does it cost much to have logos made? Did you have people in-house as well that could make those logos?
We had guys that could do it, but again, there's probably a kid in your church that could do it, or you can find stuff really either cheap or free online. There is a place, you guys need to look at this. If you use PowerPoint at all, if you don't know about Graceway Media, you need to find out about Graceway Media. Okay, GracewayMedia.com. It is a non-designer's wealth of resources for PowerPoint backgrounds, theme ideas. I'm telling you, and it's like $300 for a year, but it is worth every penny. You can download Photoshop files, you download graphics that you can reuse in a multitude of ways. It is a big, big resource for this type of thing. So it can be expensive, but it doesn't have to be. It surely doesn't have to be. And we would, you know, if you're going to print banners, that gets expensive. It's not, I mean, you could print a decent banner for $80 or $100. That can get expensive. I don't have the budget to do a lot of that right now. But I've got a big screen, and I can make a slide for free. So my screen becomes this incredibly versatile surface on which I can put whatever I need to put on there. Okay, there was another. Yes, sir?
On Vision Sunday, you mentioned a little bit about what you give away. Is there any other practical
That's going to be particular to your church. I came into a context. New England is not a big Sunday night service part of the country, even amongst independent Baptists. And so I inherited a church that had 180 on Sunday morning and 30 on Sunday night. So my big pushes. Now, Lancaster is the opposite. Lancaster, all of our big stuff was on Sunday night because that's when the whole church family was together. A lot of people were serving in buses and ministry on Sunday morning. My Sunday night crowd is now half of my Sunday morning crowd. So I've got a couple hundred people coming on Sunday night. So my big emphasis was Sunday morning. But I'm hoping I can change the culture of that over time, and that my church family, as it develops, will start to value Sunday night more. That's going to be particular to you and to how your church responds to Sunday nights. Good question. Yes, sir.
Back to the last session, what's the longest series you
would
do?
Oh, some guys, I don't think the length is... I don't think there's any magic formula about the length. I think it's how engaging is the content. If I'm losing interest, they're definitely losing interest. Some guys say 4-6 weeks max. Most of mine are 10 to 12. But I know guys that go 25, 30, 40. And if they can keep the content engaging, you know, I think that's the bigger question. So I think we're done. We're done? One more minute. Anybody have one final question? Okay, they vote to dismiss early. All right, thanks guys. Have a good next session, whatever it is.